Welcome to the ProWrestling.net podcast for Tuesday, April 11th, 2017. I am Jason Powell, joined once again today by Brian Fritz. And when we come back from the break for non-members, we will be discussing night one of the WWE Superstar Shakeup. And we will also look ahead to which Raw wrestlers we feel are likely to be heading to WWE SmackDown on night two. All right, it is night two of the WWE Superstar Shakeup. It is day two of Brian Fritz of BetweenTheRopes.com and Sporting News joining me as we take you through this Superstar Shakeup. Brian will be joining me tomorrow on this very show as well, just as he did on Monday. If you want to go back and find out how right or wrong we were in our predictions as far as which SmackDown wrestlers would be moving to Raw, you can still do that with Monday's All Access Daily. But Brian, let's get it out of the way. Let's get all the plugs out of the way right off the bat. Tell me all about Between the Ropes, Sporting News, your YouTube page, whatever you feel like plugging.
Sure. So everybody can subscribe to the Between the Ropes podcast. Do it on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, the TuneIn app, all of those different popular places that you can get it. Please rate and review the podcast as well. You can also see different video interviews that we do. Those are available on our YouTube page. Just go to youtube.com/Between the Ropes. And the easiest way to keep up on everything, including all my work on sporting news and whatnot, is just follow me on Twitter. It's at Brian Fritz.
All right, and you always remind me, but just by your plug, we're available on Stitcher, folks. Thought we were there. We weren't. So if you're listening to this somewhere else and Stitcher is more convenient for you, you can go there now, and the .NET podcasts are available there. Well, let's talk about night one. I'll run through the list quickly of who was moved. Dean Ambrose, Bray Wyatt, The Miz, Maryse, Alexa Bliss, Mickey James, Kalisto, Apollo Crews, Rhino, Heath Slater, Kurt Hawkins, and The Drifter was drifting around. I missed it. He was out there drifting around in the crowd during the women's match, but I did definitely see him on the stage during the Hardys match. Let's start with the exciting one. Let's start with The Drifter. He's not the guy who is moving from SmackDown. He's actually moving from NXT. What do you think about the way they introduced The Drifter last night?
Well, he just kind of shows up. He's a guy that just is there, you know, is like a fly on the wall. So that's what they did with him before, and that's just the way that they're introducing him now. It's not like this, hey, look, there's The Drifter. You know, like, what's he doing here? It's kind of like, hey, there's The Drifter. There's Elias Sampson. He's just kind of walking around.
Here's the thing I liked about it is that it wasn't Kurt Angle surveyed, you know, just took a look at the entire NXT roster, and The Drifter's the guy he chose. And it just looks like he's kind of showing up on his own. It's not like Kurt Angle selected him. I can't say I'm thrilled to see the guitar still with him. I was kind of hoping they might shake up this gimmick, but is there something to it? I mean, is there any chance that, okay, this didn't really click at the NXT level for whatever reason, but it may work on the main roster?
I just think they like the amount of attention he gets. It's the same thing that they got with Eva Marie. I mean, you could sit there and say, well, she wasn't that good in the ring. You could question the character, but she got an amazing amount of heat. And that's the same thing with The Drifter, is he gets an amazing amount of heat. And it's a lot of it's for the wrong reasons, but you know, they must like that, and he's got a good physique and everything, so they like the look. So they decided, well, what the hell, let's bring him up. You know, on that point that you talked about, you know, Kurt Angle surveying the landscape of NXT and saying he wanted this guy. Did he survey the landscape of SmackDown, or was it just like, all right, these are the people that we have? It almost felt like divine intervention came in to decide who was actually going to be moving over to Raw.
Yeah, I've said I'd really like them to, after this is done, list the trades. Most people aren't going to care that are watching Raw and SmackDown, to be honest with you. There is an audience, a good portion of the audience that will take the time just to lay it out there. And if people complain about it, whatever, so be it. Just list them on the WWE website. Tell people you're going to. That way it feels like, you know, for those who care, it feels like it feels real, which I think is something that WWE should strive for whenever possible. And it doesn't feel as much like, well, Vince McMahon just decided to move a bunch of people around randomly. You know, they talked about trades, so let's see the trades when all is said and done.
I agree. You know, it just felt weird. Like, they start the show and, hey, there's The Miz and Maryse. I'm like, well, I guess they're members of Raw now. I don't know if it was just people said, all right, we need 10 of you guys to make your way over to Raw. So who's it going to be? And Miz and Maryse just said, sure, why not? And they put their hands up. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, they need to clarify. I mean, they did explain going into this that, you know, well, Shane McMahon botched it on Talking Smack, but otherwise they were pretty good about explaining that the GMs were able to talk trade. They should have clarified that. And in fact, I felt like they blew it with the Miz and Maryse from the standpoint that when John Cena's music hit, in the moment, I wasn't thinking like, all right, he's off, he's doing a movie. I was like, oh, yeah, maybe he showed up for this show. It is a big show. And I wasn't thinking this means John Cena is on Raw. I was thinking, oh, John Cena is coming out to start the Superstar Shakeup. So had they at least laid out from the start, hey, if you see a SmackDown wrestler tonight on Raw, that means that wrestler is now property of Raw. That wrestler has been traded to Raw. They never did that. I thought that was a big mistake considering what they did with Miz and Maryse.
Yeah, it was strange. I mean, the whole show kind of felt strange to me just from the standpoint that there's a lot more people moved than I thought. Yeah. My prediction was, 8 to 12 people? And
I think it was 5 to 8 from each side, though.
Yeah, I mean, there was 10 people moved. I thought that was just nuts that they moved 10 people, plus you had the Drifter up there. And I got one of them. I mean, I thought Alexa Bliss, I felt pretty comfortable about that. But some of the other ones, I had no idea.
11 total moved from SmackDown to Raw. We'll see how many they move back. I would like to see a greater number moved or a similar number, but more NXT additions. I saw No Way Jose, you know, and he could just be having fun. So it looks like SmackDown's kind of got an open dance floor. Nobody's been talking about him being called up. Brian, I think he's ready. He'd be fine. He'd be a fine addition to SmackDown.
Yeah, there's a lot of people would be fine if you added them up right now. But yeah, just the way that they move talent. It was just a strange way, the way they did it, the number of people that moved, some of the people that got moved in particular, I was kind of like, didn't see that one coming. That came out of left field.
Yeah. There was buzz like, this is just going to kind of be a quick shakeup and then they're going to go do the actual draft later or however they were going to approach it. This is full on shakeup. I mean, this isn't just, and we'll see what they do tonight. I mean, for all we know, they're going to move out of the 11. They're going to move 8 of them back to SmackDown in some weird trade. I don't think that's going to happen. But no, I think this looks very much like a shakeup. I don't know that you can come back in a few months and do a draft. Why would you? So I think this
that's
is it.
That's kind of the way that I feel, too, is like, what's the point of doing a draft again in 2, 3, 4 months? I mean, this feels like it's it. And by the way, If none of those guys get traded back, and if some of the people, and I know we're going to discuss this, if some of the names that we think end up going over to SmackDown,
yeah,
I really get the sense that Raw is once again kind of the quote-unquote entertaining sports entertainment show, and SmackDown will be the wrestling show because, I mean, if AJ Styles, as we expect, now stays on SmackDown, and they have Shinsuke Nakamura, and they have Randy Orton, and say they get Kevin Owens, and say they get Sami Zayn, and you look at some of the other people that they already have. I mean,
and even Charlotte.
They could get Charlotte. They could get Sasha Banks. I mean, that's a hell of a roster when it comes to just in-ring talent.
It is. Yeah, we'll definitely get into that. Let's kind of plow through the bottom part of this because, well, that's what WWE did. I mean, we found out Apollo Crews was going before the show. And then we found out Curt Hawkins was there to get beat up. So right away, 0-2 with the heels. They put no heat on the heels. They have Curt Hawkins get destroyed, which you kind of knew was coming by Big Show. And then, but Miz also took dirty deeds. So way to tell the crowd that, hey, things have changed with Miz. Remember him? He's a player now. No, he takes dirty deeds and then he gets pinned later in the show. More on him in a little bit. But it was Hawkins, Slater, Rhino, Cruz, Kalisto, of those, I mean, anything jump out at you as far as like, hey, you know, don't be surprised if this person does something.
Well, I mean, the one that jumps out, you mentioned The Miz, but to me, I thought that he was a guy that could be the world champion over on SmackDown before the end of the year.
Now you're getting ahead of me. Stick with Kalisto, yeah. Cruz, Rhino, yeah. Slater, and Hawkins. Yeah, we'll get to Miz, I promise.
Kalisto, I think he's the one guy that stands out just from the standpoint that he's on the brand that he belongs because now I think he'll be part of 205 Live.
I'm with you. Yeah. I can't see a whole lot. I was actually kind of hoping Rhino and Slater would just stay put on SmackDown and then feud with one another, but I don't care. They had their moment and I don't know that they're going to recapture that on Raw. Maybe Slater. I mean, Slater can be a fun character, but once that whole Rhino and Slater thing kind of concluded, they really haven't done much with either guy. But yeah, Kalisto makes sense in the Cruiserweight division. They're not doing anything with him on SmackDown even, so I say why not. Let's talk about the women. Mickie James, Alexa Bliss, Alexa looked like she was the one they cared about. And Mickey, once again, like, hey, here I am on Raw. And now Nia Jax beats her up. She just can't get going.
No, but I think they're going to focus on the younger talent, you know, that are more, that they're trying to still establish. And that's Alexa. I'm not saying that they shouldn't do something with Mickey because she's a really good talent, too. But, you know, Alexa's the one that they really want to showcase right now and protect a lot more than Mickey.
Right.
All right, we've made a little switch here. We're having technical difficulties, so if Brian's audio quality is a little bit down, now you know why. But we were talking about Mickie James, and the thing with Mickie, when they brought her back, I wasn't expecting it to be like this monster push or anything. But I do believe in, hey, if you're going to take the time to bring somebody back who is an established veteran, build her up so that it means something when your younger talent beat her. And they just haven't done that at all.
I wonder if the same thing is going to happen with the Hardys, because obviously they're hot right now. They wanted to do something big with them coming right back and winning the tag titles. But is that going to continue, or are they going to capitalize on their popularity when it helps to, you know, putting over some of the younger talent when that time comes? You know, so it's just the way that they look at some of their older talent. I mean, look at what they did with the Dudley Boys. They brought them back hot for a quick second, and then they didn't really do too much with them afterwards rather than taking advantage, you know, what they could do for younger talent. So it's kind of this trend that they're in right now when they bring back some of these veterans.
I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt on the Hardys for another week or two, only in the sense that we haven't even heard them talk. You know, last night wasn't the night to do anything big with them. There were so many other things going on in the show that, like, they easily could have had some friction with them and Sheamus and Cesaro. They didn't. And I kind of understood, like, just give people one more feel-good. But let's hear from these guys. You know, we heard them on Raw Talk. The Raw audience that actually just watches the show, I don't think they've heard from the Hardys yet. That's got to change. But, yeah, Alexa, I think, is going to be the replacement in terms of being a top heel. Right now they're pushing Nia Jax as the monster. We'll see who ends up coming out on top of that. But one little thing that I look at here, I think Mickey helps with this, Brian. We talked about it yesterday. Alexa's still a work in progress as far as her in-ring work goes. She's a great character. But Nia just about killed Charlotte last night with that shoulder breaker. Bayley is going to be around. We'll see on Sasha. What about the quality of the wrestling on the Raw side in the women's division?
That's a big question, because it sure feels like they're going to be building around Bayley and Nia. Those would be, you know, that's babyface, that's a heel, and then the other two, I guess would be Nikki and Alexa Bliss and Mickie James. So those would be your top four women if both Charlotte and Sasha go.
I guess
that's weird. Just to think about that, like it made sense to me that Sasha stays, just because you have Sasha and Bayley, you have that possibility for later in the year, but maybe they feel like, hey, this goes to my whole argument about they want to do more sports entertainment. When it comes to that brand, they're not going to be as worried about match quality. You know, they want the girls that they feel are the more entertaining ones, and then the ones that are better in the ring, you put them over there on SmackDown. I mean, you could have Sasha, Charlotte, and Becky Lynch all back together on one brand.
I would leave Sasha. I really would.
I would too.
I don't think she needs to move. I think there's still a story to tell with her. I think she can be a great heel if they let her be. But I also want to see her kept apart from Charlotte. I'm just still not over all the matches we saw between them. They're great, but it just give us a break from that so it means something down the road. Then Miz and Maryse, you know, I kind of made my feelings known on those two. I know you had more to say, Brian. My thing was just let the audience know. Not everyone who watches Raw watches SmackDown. I think they're aware of what's going on, but Miz really emerged on SmackDown, and it just felt like when he returned to Raw, it's right back to just almost pest heel Miz, who just just gets roughed up by the top baby faces.
Yeah, that's a tough spot for him, because he had, you know, obviously he had Cena to work with over on SmackDown. They let him do his thing, and he really had this big emergence even before, you know, the rivalry with Cena. He was doing some really good things over there and really coming back over the last, you know, probably 18 months from where he was. And he had room to grow, especially on SmackDown, to do that. And I just don't feel the same way over on Raw. You know, he doesn't have to be the world champion to be successful, obviously, but it'd be cool if he was like kind of in that mix a little bit, or at least you felt like that potential was there. But now when you've got guys like Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, and Braun Strowman, I don't feel like he's going to come anywhere close to it.
Does this mean we don't get the King of Strong Style against the King of WWE Soft Style?
Apparently not.
That's a weird one. I mean, that was teased on SmackDown. I just assumed it was going to happen. I figured it was going to be a pretty lopsided feud in favor of Nakamura, but I thought we were going to see it, and instead, I mean, there's nothing stopping them from moving people back. I guess we'll have to wait and see, but I don't know about you. My guess is Miz stays put.
I think all of them stay put. I mean, I know we had it happen in a draft years ago where Cena switched brands twice in the same night, but I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're over there, and those are the ones that are going to be on Raw, and tonight we'll find out exactly who's headed over to SmackDown.
Will you forgive them if Miz starts performing Kurt Angle's signature moves and it actually leads to a match that he couldn't have with Daniel Bryan?
No, I'd have no problem with that. I think that could be pretty entertaining. And that would be something that Miz could really get his hooks into again.
Yeah, that would be fun. Bray Wyatt moving over. That one surprised me, only because, you know, they're still doing this thing with Randy Orton. Now, those two are going to headline, the Payback pay-per-view. And I get the strategy from the standpoint that Brock Lesnar's not working that show. Yeah, you could just go with Roman and Strowman on top if you want to, but I think they want to have a title match there. Now you might have two, because we both assume Kevin Owens is moving over. He's defending the U.S. title against Chris Jericho on that show. So in a weird way, it's kind of an inter-brand pay-per-view.
It is, and with moving Bray Wyatt, you really feel like they telegraphed the finish in that match. Like, you feel like, okay, Orton has to win it, because if Bray won, he's not taking that championship with him, or you wouldn't think so. I mean, that would really be strange if they did that.
Or did they? We'll get into that in a second. But Bray Wyatt looks like he's going to feud with Finn Balor. And that's when I actually was hoping we'd see post-WrestleMania with Bray as the WWE champion and Balor moving over to SmackDown. We'll see how it goes. I don't feel like Balor is nearly as hot right now as he was, you know, when he first debuted. Now, granted, he didn't win the championship on night one, you know, early in his run and all of that. But still, there just feels like there's not that same spark there. And Michael Cole really wants her to be, based on his heavily scripted-sounding comments as Balor was making his entrance and talking about what a moment it was in sports entertainment and all this. But Dean Ambrose does move over. Brian, Seth Rollins made it seem like he wants to stay. Kurt Angle wants him to stay. We actually going to get all three Shield members on the Raw brand?
It looks like yes, we are, which I did not see coming.
No, me neither.
I mean, I guess they could still move him, obviously, but I think they wanted to bring a little bit of, hey, you know what? We closed the door on this because Kurt Angle says he wants him to stay. And that's the first step in leading to some angst between Angle and Stephanie whenever she comes back.
Yeah.
So I don't think Seth is going anywhere. I think he's going to stay right there on Raw.
And do you assume Roman stays put?
Yes. And I don't think Dean's going back either.
I assume Roman stays as well. Now, the scenario I was mentioning, there was all sorts of speculation, even rumors, I think, that Roman at one point was going to SmackDown, AJ was coming to Raw, and my guess is that neither one of those moves happened. So could it be, though, like the one of the reasons Vince wanted to put Roman over there was to keep him apart from Brock Lesnar for a full year, and then they somehow get back together and have the WrestleMania match? Any chance Brock Lesnar gets moved to SmackDown, Bray Wyatt ends up taking the WWE Championship, wins it from Randy Orton, brings that to Raw, and so you have Lesnar on one side. He'd be there with, like, Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles, and, you know, when he actually wrestled, it'd be like, damn. Your thoughts on that whole scenario? And keep in mind, if Braun were to beat Roman, which we assume he would, he's in line for the title shot. We assumed it was going to be against Brock, and it probably still will be, but that would move him into a potential program with Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, there's a lot of ifs and buts there. I mean, they can do anything they want, obviously, when it comes to Brock. I guess they could move him, but I'd be a bit surprised, because they've already done a little bit of a setup for Brock against Braun. I mean, they've already had Heyman call him out a bit. So, yeah. And Braun came out to the ring and confronted him. So I think that's the place they want to lead to. But Brock Lesnar on SmackDown would be damn intriguing with AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura over there.
It would be interesting. Now, I don't think they're going to do it. I mean, because you talk about how Orton and Wyatt, that finish is telegraphed. Imagine then, like, all right, if Bray loses this match, then SmackDown has both of the world titles. I mean, you're looking at, you got to be questioning Kurt Angle's sanity as a character at that point. Like, why would you trade your champion and not get another champion in return unless, surprise, Randy Orton moves over? But then, Brian, you got to go through the trouble. They're not just going to have a red belt on SmackDown. They went through the trouble of doing all this color coding. You know, they want their red titles on Raw and their blue titles on SmackDown. They can't do that, can they?
I don't think so. I mean, we're getting into a whole mix here that next thing you know, I mean, there's going to be green and yellow, and I don't know what the hell is going on, man, with all the colors and everything. I mean, this whole thing is just, we got to see how it all shapes down when it's all said and done, but it feels so strange right now that they've gone so far with this.
I know. It's like half the SmackDown roster was moved, basically. You know, it
was. I was like, why don't they just, like, take one roster and put them on Monday and take the other one and put it on Tuesday at this point?
Well, you know, it's funny though, you look at what they did, and the real players in this, I would say, that actually moved over, Ambrose, Bray, Miz to some extent, even though now he feels defined down, and Alexa Bliss. You know, everyone else was kind of undercard to mid-card anyway, so it's a big number, but, and you include the Drifter, it's a big number, but it's not like, they basically moved all the top wrestlers from SmackDown over to Raw. It's not that
bad. And it's not like they moved AJ Styles. It's not like they moved a guy that's, you know, a top guy right now. Or, you know, when you're looking at top two of a brand, they haven't moved one of them yet. I mean, it's nothing against Bray or Dean or even Miz, but you're just a shade underneath that right now.
Do you think there was an argument like, you take Ziggler? No, you keep him.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I feel bad for the guy. He's just in no man's land again, even after the turn. You know, it's just like,
by the way, I love this whole process of guys getting moved, and I understand why you do it, but I love that, like, if we're to believe that these are actually trades going on behind the scenes, it's just like, hey, that person just lost for like the third match in a row. I want him. Can I trade for that person? I want the loser.
Oh, I know. Talk about that, because, I mean, yeah, the territory days, you were leaving the territory. You did the honors on the way out. Of course, you were leaving the territory or the company. In this case, you're going from one WWE brand to the other. I get it if, like, okay, Charlotte, they want to build up Nia Jax. I can understand that one to a point. But some of these other ones, like, you know you're still going to have them in your company. Don't you want them hot when they go to the other brand rather than they're all failures?
They're leaving the territory, man. Come on, Raw and SmackDown, while they might be owned and run by the same man, we all know that it's two different things. They're feuding against one another. That's competition.
I mean, they did this with Jack Swagger. Didn't he get beat by Jinder Mahal, of all people?
Something like that, yeah.
So strange. Well, let's talk about the other. Well, actually, you know what? We've missed the biggest move of them all. My God, I got my wish. It actually happened. The show, pro wrestling is never going to be the same, people. They might.
And you called this, so give yourself all the credit in the world that you actually called this.
I can't even say I called it. I was joking about it. Just the absurdity of it. That boy, will they actually swap David Otunga for Byron Saxon? I'll be damned, Brian, they did it.
They did it.
Are you ready for 3 hours do you feel, of Otunga live?
How do you feel if you are Byron Saxon today and you found out that you go to SmackDown?
I'm not happy about working with JBL.
Correctamundo.
We're going to see just how Byron,
I don't know what his relationship is. Yeah, I don't know what the relationship is, but I mean, with everything that's gone on and everything, and just like working with Michael Cole and working with Corey Graves, that's the scenario I'd want to be a part of.
Yeah, and you know, it is the bigger show. I mean, I will say, Wade Keller and I were doing a show together, I don't know, a couple, probably 6 weeks ago, maybe. We both were kind of talking without having to talk to each other about how David Otunga had shown some improvement recently. He had basically, not that he was good, but he was kind of doing what a guy in his role should be doing and sticking up for the baby faces a little bit more. So, I can't say it's really stood out to me a ton since then, but I think he has shown some improvement at the very least.
I hope so. I mean, you better have a quick wit to go up against Corey Graves, tell you that.
Nope. Well, I mean, all you got to do is just sit there and take it like Byron does.
Right.
How will
Every
Byron
now and then Byron would have a line, but yeah, you I mean, the good thing is you can tell with Corey that he definitely is in character and he's having some fun with everything.
Yeah.
And he's playing a role. It doesn't feel the same way when you're on the other brand with somebody that says that.
Do you, are you expecting a giant celebration from Corey Graves on Monday?
Yes.
That should be fun. I look forward to that.
I want balloons. I want party favors. I want hats. I want all of it.
And then by the end of the night, he's just bitter that he has to work with Otunga?
Yes.
Perfect. I like it. Well, let's talk about the Raw side of things. Who's going to be moving to tonight, to SmackDown tonight? Join Jake Barnett for live coverage, of course, as the show airs at ProWrestling.net. And then stick around for Zach Zimmerman's live review. .net members will hear my audio review of SmackDown Live later on this evening as well. But, Brian, you know, we kind of covered, man, Brock Lesnar, probably not. I mean, but do you expect some big move tonight, some big unexpected move involving a main event player? I mean, you know, I think we spot some obvious ones, but is there a big one yet to come that we're going to be like, we didn't see that coming?
I think there has to be almost. I don't know how big of a name it will be. And I know he talked about it, but I'd be a bit surprised still by Sasha, right? You can see that coming. Kevin Owens feels like the biggest name for the men that's obvious right now, but there's probably an obvious name or one we're not even necessarily thinking about that could obviously get moved.
Let's play percent here.
Yeah.
Charlotte.
I feel like 99%.
That she gets moved.
Yeah.
I'm with you. New Day.
I'd say probably about 70% gets moved.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care, but yeah.
I'd like to see them stay just because I like the feud that's going. But I mean, they've lost twice, and we see this pattern of if you start losing, you're going to get moved.
And in that case, it's almost like, you know what, that's a feud that can end without the revival, you know, without New Day getting their comeuppance, Revival is new. I'd kind of like to see them be able to boast, hey, we ran off New Day, even though they were just simply traded. I guess Sasha Banks.
Probably, I'd say 55% she gets moved. That one I could see either way.
I'll go I get 40.
Yeah.
And it might just be wishful thinking on my part. I don't want to see her go. I don't really. I think SmackDown, I'd like to see an Emma move over there.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense, I think.
Yeah,
that would get her away from Dana.
Now, they do need, let's see here, who will they have left as baby faces? Naomi and Becky Lynch. Is there another? Nikki, I guess, when she's around.
Yeah, but she's not going to be around that much.
Yeah, so, I don't know, move somebody. Emma's got an identity crisis. Make her a baby face. What the hell? But Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson.
I'd love to see them move. I don't think it's going to happen. I put it like 25%.
I really hope they do. And, this is probably wishful thinking. I'll go 70% because I've just been calling that one here since it's been announced, going, they can pair those guys together again.
But, I mean, that's two tag teams that they've been utilizing a lot lately that would move to SmackDown and be the one that's going from SmackDown to Raw in Slater and Rhino that hasn't been used that much. So that'd be a hell of a swap right there tag team-wise.
Well, and then there's a lot of buzz that the Shining Stars could be moving. Wow. You got to figure, after you've sold enough timeshares on Raw, you got to shake it up and go over to the SmackDown side.
They got hot new property down there on the beach, I heard. So, you know.
Any chance that if they do move that, you know, you could see them getting repackaged and maybe, just maybe, WWE finally does something with those guys?
To what now? I can only imagine. I got this great idea. I'm going to repackage the Shining Stars. It's like, oh, God. I don't know what you could repackage them to.
How about they just be Primo and Epico and they actually start winning a match here and there?
That'd be nice. And just let them go out there. And I know it's not exciting, but just let them be good hands. I have good matches with people.
Kevin Owens.
He's gone. I feel that's 99%.
Yeah, he and Charlotte, 99% territory for me. Brock Lesnar?
Nah, I'll put that like 10%.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, I mean, it's an interesting scenario, but I'm with you on that. Who else am I forgetting here, Brian?
That's a good question.
I mean, there'll be Curtis Axel types and things like that. But
oh man, Axelmania could be running wild. You're saying?
I'm saying it, there's a chance.
Who doesn't like that? Come on, man. Well, I got to bring up my handy dandy list of WWE superstars here, real quick.
What about Chris Jericho?
Yeah, I could see Chris going simply because it keeps the feud alive with Kevin for the time being.
If he's leaving for an extended period, is it almost better off to have him on opposite brands so you can actually promote this as this is it, you know, without saying Jericho's leaving?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different things they can do from that standpoint.
Oh, I know who I'm forgetting. Sami Zayn.
Sami, I feel pretty good that he is going to go.
I hope so now.
I said it before. I mean, you look at that roster that they could put together when it comes to workers. I mean, that could be pretty darn good, to say the least. I'm bringing up the list right now. Who else is out there that could get?
Well, I'll just say, Sami Zayn. My big thing on him was, hey, you know, guys like him, underdogs, it pays to have them kind of do what he did last year. Not lose all the time, but lose probably more than he wins. Lose to some of the bigger names, but put up a good fight. You do that for a couple of years, and the fans are begging for him to do more. And cool, you know, it's what they didn't do with Bayley that I think has hurt them. Well, now I look at the way he's been positioned over the last 2 weeks, and he's a dork. It was Michael Cole referring to him as neurotic, Kurt Angle rolling his eyes at him last week. I'm hoping this is like some weird, mean, creative thing that they're doing to him on the way off the Raw brand, and that when he goes to SmackDown, all of that is going to be gone, and we're just going to get Sami Zayn back. So, yeah, I went from being, if he stays, cool. If he goes, he'll be fine on SmackDown. He'll do good things. Now I'm like, get him the hell off the brand.
I got two hot names for you that I can see moving. R-Truth and Titus O'Neil.
I could see Titus. I mean, I could see either one. I guess I haven't really put any thought into either one.
What about Rusev?
I'd like to see it, you know, but we talked about this yesterday a little bit. I think they keep him on Raw with the idea that they can not set up a match, but do some fun comedy with Rusev and Kurt Angle.
That would be about it, that would say, because we've already, Bo Dallas?
Do you want him on the same brand as his brother, or do you want to keep
him? I do. I want to keep him on the same brand as his brother, because I think there's some potential there.
What about, you know, there was all the speculation about Reigns, and it's really died down. Any chance?
Of Reigns?
Yeah, being moved to Raw, or to SmackDown.
I don't think so. I think he stays put. I mean, there's too much going on with him and Strowman, and then, you know, Brock Lesnar at some point down the line. I think he stays.
Let me throw two more names at you, and we'll call it a day, unless we can, when somebody else pops into my head. Seth Rollins.
No, I still don't feel good about that. I mean, I think they went out of their way with Kurt to kind of give him a stamp of approval to keep him. So I think he's staying put.
Finn Balor. Could that Bray thing have been a tease? You know, just a swerve,
yeah.
Basically.
Finn, I could still see. I don't give it a high percentage, but I could still see that. Man, that would be another really quality in-ring guy, though, that would end up going over to SmackDown, though.
It would. Well, you know what? I will throw two more names at you. They're a tag team. Sheamus and Cesaro, yeah, they have their title shot, but they can always play that like, oh, they're going to take those titles to SmackDown. It'll be the most obvious thing in the world that they're not going to win, but still.
Right, and I mean, if you move them, you can break them up.
Yeah, and I think Sheamus might be ready for that. In turn, for the longest time, it was like Sheamus had go-away heat, and now it's – I'm not saying it's a lock that he's going to do well as a singles, but I do have a little more faith in him being like a heel on SmackDown, that it may actually work.
It could. I mean, have they been together long enough, and are they over and in the good graces of the audience long enough to where Sheamus is going to get, you know, the right kind of reaction that they want, whether he's a heel or not, but is he really going to get a reaction rather than people just sitting on their hands?
My next bold prediction, they're going to swap ring announcers. JoJo's done on Raw.
Whoa.
Who's the ring announcer on SmackDown? I don't even know. I can't think of it off the top of my head. It's not Tony Chill.
It's Greg, Greg whatever that was, came from NXT.
Oh, I like Mike Rome. He does a better job. I don't like him as
an interviewer.
Mike
Rome.
Did you see
Mike
those
Rome
videos
really
yesterday?
Yeah, that was a little staticky.
He was all breathless. I mean, it was like, oh my goodness, I got the first move. He was like, calm down. He
was excited, man.
Like,
he got the first announcement.
It was way too over that. He was like, just settle down, Mike. But I'm, you know, hey, he's being produced that way, I'm sure. But he just looked way too giddy and fanboyish. Like, calm down. And he didn't come off that way at all when I saw him work the NXT house show in my area. I thought he did a great job. But
he's an awesome ring announcer. Yeah, it's Greg Hamilton, by the way.
Yeah, the one who needed to change his hair and thankfully did. Because we couldn't tell from a distance, is that a woman? We weren't quite sure.
Mm.
But he did change his hair. He looks better. He's okay. I'll say that. He's okay. He's the guy that likes to pause and hope that the crowd chants one fall after him, right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, that's annoying. Stop, please. Just don't. But save it for the UK, basically. any other thoughts on, now that I've gone off the rails with this, any other thoughts on, as you're looking at the Raw roster? Roman Reigns, just anything like that? Anyone jumping out at you? Any bold predictions? Maybe NXT call-ups? Anything like that?
Well, I think, the name that's been talked about there is Andrade Cien Almas. So maybe we will see him on SmackDown as well. I think the really curious thing I want to see is if they do kind of reveal, like, oh, these are the trades and this is how it worked out, because I want to see how they do that. This could be like a numbers thing from a standpoint of maybe not as many names come to SmackDown as went to Raw, but, Raw's 3 hours and SmackDown's two.
But they already established that. They gave it so lopsided right. The first time.
But it could be a quality over quantity kind of thing.
Could be. I just don't want this scenario of, hey, we our secondary champion, which will probably be the U.S. champion now, has like two potential opponents that, realistically. Yeah. That's what I
but
didn't
the thing
like.
Is, like, they did just add Dillinger. They did just add Nakamura. So they've added a couple of guys on their own. So it might not be as bad. And, the way that this could shape up, I think, going forward, here in like the next month, if the moves go down the way that we're even talking about, I mean, your top two feuds for the titles over on SmackDown could be Randy Orton against AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura against Kevin Owens.
I like it. That could be fun. No, you sold me on that. You've been critical of the way they've done this. We'll wrap up on this. The way they just kind of blindly had people come out without any explanation. Is this better, though, than the draft lottery system they've used in the past?
Well, you cut through a lot of the red tape, at least, so you're not wasting time, I guess. That would be the best way to say it, because we've seen that show kind of drag on because of that, and this time it's just boom, it's happening. Boom, boom, boom. And it's also something where it's just like, you never know who's going to walk out through the curtain. So from that standpoint, it's good because I think it keeps the surprises fresh and you're always wondering what's going to happen. So that's a cool aspect of it, at least.
And I think it makes SmackDown feel a lot more relevant tonight. Had you done this last night, you would have had a couple of big names, but you would have had a lot of Curt Hawkins. And, they're just different people that you're like, oh. Where the way they did it, they kind of breezed through those other names and focused on the bigger names. And SmackDown tonight really does, because it's like, well, boy, there's all these different people that move. They must be moving a lot of people from Raw. So I like that. It's the best push, really, it feels like, that they've given SmackDown. I think this is going to be a big show, both in terms of content and also viewership.
Well, and like I said, I think when it's all said and done, you can look at that SmackDown roster and go, oh, man, I thought that was a hot show before because of the way that it was booked and storylines and whatnot. I mean, you could have some really great matchups when it comes to talent over there.
Well, we will talk about it tomorrow. I am in the clear, Brian. I found out my girlfriend's car isn't going to be ready for 2 freaking weeks.
2 weeks, man.
2 weeks. I am trapped in my own home. I'm not a big fan of this. Well, but that does mean that you and I will have no problem getting together tomorrow to do our third part, the review of the Superstar Shakeup.
I like it. I'm all shook up already.
All right. Thank you for joining me today, Brian. And everybody, remember, I'll be by tonight with the member-exclusive audio review. If you're interested in ProWrestling.net membership, you could probably find that $2 special still lingering out there somewhere. I'm not going to stop you. Go ahead and cheat in this case. $2 for 1 month, our best savings of the year on both six-month and annual membership. The ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. Hear my 62-minute audio review of last night's WWE Raw. And again, tonight's WWE SmackDown. Shortly after the show, I'll be recording that. It'll be available to members later on tonight. And then Brian and I will be back tomorrow in the same slot with the review of night 2 of the Superstar Shakeup. Take care.